Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and warning us of the things to come, showing us how to escape. And Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that your will is going to be done in all of this. You're sovereign. We're headed towards a Red Sea experience here for the wicked and for the righteous. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Okay, I'm going to share some new revelations and an old revelation, which gives a lot of explanation. We're going to call this Evil Bio Snow, that is biological snow, kills apostates. And this is given to Sandy Shaw in March of 2018. And she said, I dreamed I was in a room with a lot of windows and a wooden floor, and I was watching the snow fall. In my mind, I was wondering why I didn't like it. And the lady next to me spoke, this must be the evil snow. The evil snow. I said, where did you hear that? She said, from my husband and his friends. And I think her next dream about this may explain who these friends are. I don't think they're good people. Then all of a sudden I found myself in a hospital. People were there because of breathing problems. Pneumonia, emphysema, lung cancer, upper respiratory infection, COPD. These were hundreds of rooms that I was going through in the spirit. Antibiotics were not working. Then all of a sudden I was back in the window room watching the snow fall. Once again, that lady said, this must be the evil snow. The evil snow. And the verse she got by faith at random was Daniel 5:24-31. Then was the part of the hand sent from before him, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. His is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Well, this is talking about the Babylonian Empire, of which we have seen is a type of deep state America and the people who serve it. So this can be both, I would say, a faction in church and state that we are seeing, and both are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold about his neck and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And what, of course, made that possible was the conquering of that state by Cyrus and our Trump. So what we see here is the end of the faction in church and state. The Red Sea, if you will, which is equated in places of the fall of Babylon to the Red Sea, and Cyrus, Trump, and the Manchild reformers win by the grace of God. So Daniel was made the third ruler in the kingdom, and the apostate king was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So here's one that Sandy got, you know, in August the 21st, 2019. But it's clearly connected to the previous one. So this is a new one. And it was transcribed. Both of these were transcribed by Don and Merlene Laughlin for us. And we call this one the Big Bio Snow Storm. And it's giving us some revelation here you might want to pay attention to, pray about, and be in the right spot when it happens, okay? And the way this dream starts, I'm standing outside looking at the sky, and I'm watching them overdo it with the chemtrails. They were doing X's across the sky. And Jeff came out and said, "Let's go to Sonic and get a drink." I said, "Hey, Jeff, look at all the chemtrails." And when we got home, Sue Gilbert came over, and I was looking at the chemtrails, and I said, "Look, Sue, look at all the chemtrails." She said, "Well, let's pray them down." So we started to pray in tongues. And while praying, all of a sudden, I was in an office with men in suits. And we believe these represent the elite and their deep state chemtrailers. They were debating, and it started way before I got there. Now, I know some people believe that the chemtrails, you know, have been totally given over to President Trump. That may or may not be true, that all of them are given over. I don't know that, you know, but I do know that Sandy has very, very good dreams. And it started way before I got there, she said. One of them said, "Are you sure we have the right calculations?" "Yes, the Southeast aren't used to getting anything, so 12 inches will completely immobilize them." And another man said, "12 inches? Are you kidding? The way we had it inundated, the sky is going to be 3 to 4 times that, if not more." Wow, that is a real snowstorm. Then another man said, gentlemen, we are not here to debate this right now, so make sure you tell your families to be stocked up with food, water, and meds. Fill up their propane tanks and have enough wood. So this is an attempt to avoid the plague by the deep state, by staying indoors, which will not work for them because we already know what the Lord has said. The plague is going to take them out. And maybe some of their family or all their families. Who knows? I don't know. But this was them attempting to save their families and yet not the others. So the man went on to say, make sure the generators are in working order and enough fuel for them. Remember to tell the men not to go out unless totally covered. Meaning evidently this is something that goes through your skin, which many things do go through your skin. That's where the infection begins. Another man said, are you sure it's going to be this serious? And they all said in unison, yes. One of the men hit the desk in front of him. And that's when I saw the calendar. It had November of 2019 on it. That's not far off. Then there was a scene change. And the dream goes from there to the garage, and I'm in the car. Jeff is putting in our luggage so we can go and see his dad. And I prayed and I asked the Lord if there's going to be a storm or something is going to happen. Let it start to snow before we get to the end of the drive. So Jeff got in the car and said, okay, we're ready. And when we got to the end of the drive, it started snowing. And I told Jeff, I don't think we're supposed to go. And that was the end of the dream. So maybe that's a timing thing there. She received a first by faith at random, Proverbs 2:1-8. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou cry after discernment, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver, and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And I would say so in this dream, yes. He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to them that walk in integrity. Notice that. That's your Passover right there, walking in integrity. That he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. There it is again, preserve the way of his saints is short for sanctified ones. Okay. This is the way to escape. Yeah. Sanctify yourselves. Be separate from the world, separate from sin, and unto God, and walk in integrity. And, of course, apostates are not people that are doing either of those things. They claim Christianity, but they're not there. So we included this dream that was given to Eve back in December of 2017, which explained the snow, but also the escape from that, and how that the apostates and the faction would not escape this. So let me share that with you. I dreamed that I was again in the operating room of an apostate factious man who was in front of me holding the unsterile DNC curette with which in the previous dream he was attempting to kill Christ in me, typed as a baby in my womb. Well, the faction has tried to do that, to kill Christ in the people of God. That's what they do with their slander, their lies, and their faction, and their witchcraft. But this time, the surroundings of the operating room morphed into a large gray metal warehouse. The man's face changed to bewilderment as he realized that he was surrounded by people packed inside this warehouse with him. Well, a warehouse is a place where things are stored for latter use, right? And God declares that the factious, judgmental, and disobedient store up for themselves wrath from him. Romans 2:1-8. And wherefore, thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest, and this is, of course, the very nature of faction, judgment, criticism, slander, so on. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost practice the same things. Have you noticed on the internet how that the factious have accused Trump of doing the very thing that they're now being caught doing? And it's the same, of course, in the church. But there is a parallel there, and we've received that quite a few times, that there's a parallel there going on. They're running side by side. But he said, thou condemnest thyself, for thou dost judge and practice the same thing. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckonest thou this, O man, who judges them that practice such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Well, no, it won't happen. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? He has been very long-suffering. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest or storeth up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption eternal life, but unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation. And then Eve went on to say, suddenly I was caught up in the spirit to the ceiling of the warehouse. You know, as a type of ascending into heavenly places in Christ above all the wickedness, where all needs are supplied by abiding in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So if you're abiding in Christ, you're above the curse on the people of the warehouse. And, of course, one of those needs is immunity from plagues, which is in Exodus 15, 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So you see, obeying the Lord, walking in the light that you have, obeying the Lord, is a preservation through the midst of disease. The apostate factious man began to look all around in a panic because I had vanished before his eyes, and he was, of course, in this warehouse awaiting judgment. And you'll notice that Eve, possibly a type of the bride of the last Adam, Jesus, was hidden, just like in Pam's revelation that we also had at that time. And the Lord said, tell my people to hide themselves, even as you are now hiding. It is disease that I am sending. Only you who truly believe in my saving power will be safe from this pestilence, for it does not originate from this earth. Many people now, drawing breath, will be dead in a few short months. And Pam also said, I slipped out of bed and went to the secret place. What is it to be hidden in the secret place of the Most High? Well, it's Psalm 91, right? Let's just read 1 through 11. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord that he's my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noondays. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That's pretty much a Passover, right? And then she said, as I looked down in the spirit, I was aware that all the people in the warehouse were apostates and factious and had been gathered there for judgment. So an apostate is someone who has fallen away from the covenant, from the truth as it was given in the beginning. If that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. Notice, abiding in the Son is that place of safety, once again. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. The plagues. So if you add to God's word with your own theology, your own Bible school training, your own preferred lusts, distorting the word for so you can consume your lusts, you're going to be in danger of the plagues. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. And the holy city, of course, is the bride. So those who have eaten the whole Passover lamb, which represents having our mind renewed with the true original word, and believe in the blood of the covenant that Jesus shed to save and to heal us from the curse that comes on sinners, they're going to escape the plagues. And Galatians 3 and 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. There it is. Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree or a cross, right? And also Exodus 12. And let's see, I'll read 3 through, well, I'll just read on. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to their father's houses. A lamb for a household, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at evening. And they shall take of the blood and put it upon the two side posts and on the lintel and upon the houses wherein they shall eat it. So, in other words, they have to walk under the blood of the sacrifice by faith, right? And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, which is the true word of God, and bitter herbs. They shall eat not of it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast it with fire, its head, meaning the mind of Christ, with its legs, meaning the walk of Christ, and with the inwards, meaning the heart of Christ, thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, but that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And, of course, that means that it will be wasted because the destroyer is coming. It will be wasted. And verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. The firstborn, of course, is the fleshly man, and then the spiritual man, right? So many of the lost and unbelieving Christians are going to die. You know, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments, for I am the Lord. And the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you. There it is also in Exodus. No plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. In 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. I believe this is also a type of the tribulation 7 years, because this is the last chance God's people have to be sanctified, those in the world to come to him and be sanctified. And if a person partakes of leaven, they're just not going to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ in time. And jumping down to verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. All at once I saw hundreds, maybe even 1,000 small, transparent coral snakes that were red, black, and yellow. And the coral snake has been known as the deadliest snake in North America. It actually paralyzes your nervous system with your lungs and other organs shutting down in as little as a couple of hours. They have enough venom to kill 5 people, but their delivery system is not too good. You know, small fangs, which they use to chew on a person until they get enough venom into them. I remember one time when I was a child, I crawled into a tent in the woods that I had made, and then realized that one was right next to me on the ground with its head bobbing back and forth like it was about to pop me. And it was like less than a foot from me. And it was my old dog that came through the door that distracted it, and it turned towards the dog. And when it turned towards the dog, I scurried out of the way. I was able to get out of there. But, you know, where I lived, of course, there were plenty of the coral snakes, you know. But they're very deadly. And they were, speaking of the coral snakes, she said, they were falling like snow, like light snow would. Like a plague or a pestilence sprayed from the sky, the poison of these things. It actually affects the same thing as what we've been told the chemtrails are going to affect, which is the lungs. It shuts down the lungs. And it was descending upon the wicked people in the warehouse to bite them and to take their lives. Numbers 21:6 says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents, called the fiery flying serpent in Isaiah 30:6, among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And then she said, the people that began to scream and to cry out when they realized what was happening. Fortunately, coral snakes are very reclusive, and most people have never even seen one. There's a false coral, which is actually a king snake, and it's not venomous. And however, if the transparent coral venom were spread from the sky like the chemtrails, it would be an extremely deadly delivery system, possibly like A.A. Allen saw, to major population centers. Now, I'm not saying that that's what they're going to do. I think the coral snake just represents a venom from the sky, a poison, a plague from the sky. I read that before the anti-venom, the deaths climbed from 10 to 20%. The antivenom is only made by one company, which is either out of business or going out of business. And now this coral venom sounds like the plague in Pam's Revelation, where there was no antidote. And the Lord said to Pam in part one, no one will have the remedy. I will laugh at the mighty men as they run futilely for their holes. Tell the internet readers to forget their word searches, etc. There is no remedy but me, and only me, says the Lord. And I believe this means that no remedy can be counted on to save from this but God's. He is in control over who lives and who dies, just like at the Passover, and no vaccine can circumvent or stop him. In Deuteronomy 32 and 39, see now that I, even I, am he. There is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. This is true. So it's God that we need to seek for deliverance for all of the things that are coming upon this world, not just this curse, which the deep state believes will save them from their predicament. But I'm quite sure it won't work. The Lord is going to turn it back upon the same type people as they are. Like the coral venom, the pneumonic plague is a lung disease that cuts off breath. So now we have the coral venom and the pneumonic plague coming from the sky. Again, these are types. And add to this the fact that the chemtrails are a practiced delivery system that brings lung disease all over the nation now. The hospitals are full of people with pneumonia-type symptoms, and they're calling it that, but it's not that. Okay? I had at least two close friends who died from this, and if you multiply this to the rest of the nation, it's an epidemic. But they're not claiming it as that. And again, in the spirit, this back to Eve here, again in the spirit, I saw what looked like snowflakes beginning to fall through the ceiling of the warehouse. Well, that means, of course, the warehouse did not warehouse them. It didn't protect them. Being indoors did not protect them. And then the snakes appeared and fell on the people with the snow. Again, this is a snow. I wonder if the poison with snow could represent the pestilence that comes from the sky by the hand of God in the chemtrails for judgment in the wintertime. And I said, yes, I believe that's exactly what this is talking about. Maybe the people were repenting when they were crying out as the snakes landed on them. And I do believe that some will repent, but most won't. And because you repent does not mean that you will be saved. Actually, this is the time to prepare for such a thing as this, because you have to have your faith in the Passover lamb. And I got to say, most of Christianity doesn't have that at all. But that is apostate Christianity. And God is going to show that apostasy will kill you. It will not permit you to have the benefits of the kingdom. It is, be it unto you according to your faith, Jesus said. If you believe what Jesus said, you will be protected. If you don't, if you think all that passed away, well, it passed away for you, you see. And then I woke up and I asked Father for a word concerning this continuation dream and received by faith at random, Jeremiah 9:23. And in context, 20 through 26. And my finger was on, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. All right. Here's verse 20. Yet hear the word, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, every one his neighbor, lamentation. For death has come up into our windows. So this word by faith at random is dead on again. It is entered into our palaces to cut off the children from without and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord, the dead bodies of men shall fall as dung upon the open field and as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. And thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. That's where her finger was. Let not, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he hath understanding and knoweth me. Yes, that's something that will save you there. None of those other things will. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. And behold, the days come, says the Lord, I will punish all them that are circumcised in their uncircumcision. So that's the apostates. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab, a bunch of factious people there against God's people. All they have corners of their hair cut off that dwell in the wilderness, for all the nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. That's the apostate people of God. Let's see, I'm going to skip over that next revelation, although there's one there that you can read. And this is called The Failure of the Faction. Eve Brass was given this on August 26th. And this is dream number one. I was traveling on a highway, 157, coming up to an intersection in Mansfield, Texas, where I grew up. The Bible Wheel, which is a gematria site, cites two verses in connection with the number 157. The New Covenant equals 157 in 1 Corinthians 11 and 25. Which says, in like manner also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant, there it is, the new covenant, in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And everlasting salvation is 157 in Isaiah 45 and 17. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. We have a covenant in the blood of Jesus that protects us from the destroyer. And we have everlasting salvation, which also covers that, by the way. Some people think salvation only covers your soul after you die. No, it doesn't. Wrong. Look it up. You'll find out. You shall not be put to shame, nor confounded, world without end. So this is the gematria value of these words, which talk about being saved and delivered by the new covenant, right? So I was wanting to turn right at the light in order to get onto the service road that led to Highway 287. Well, the Bible Wheel cites three verses in connection with the number 287. The Spirit of Wisdom equals 287 in Isaiah 11 and 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Well, that's a man-child, okay? Wonderful Counselor equals 287 in Isaiah 9:6. Listen, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. My help equals 287. In Psalm 121:1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the mountains, from whence shall my help come. Well, the first two texts are about Jesus and are types of the man-child reformers. The last text asks, where does the help come from? Well, Father spoke about this, about the David, Jesus, and man-child in Psalm 89 and 19. Then thou speakest in vision to thy saints and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have laid help. Here's where the help is coming from. The help in Jesus' day was him. The help in Moses' day was him. The help in Joseph's day was him. The help in the end time is the man-child, corporate body. So I have exalted one chosen out of the people, he says. So God is sending help. So what we want to do is, get to the end of the first road, traveling on that highway of salvation and deliverance, and get on the highway with the man-child, right? I was not able to turn right to get onto the service road that led to the Highway 287 because a U-Haul moving van was parked blocking the right turn lane. So I got out of my vehicle and pushed on the rear of the U-Haul with my right pointed finger. And it supernaturally made the U-Haul gently roll forward so that I could have room to turn right and get onto the highway. That is the Mantle Highway. The faction seeks to keep the bride from being on the highway of holiness, going to Zion with the man-child. And it won't be hard when the time comes, by God's grace, to remove the faction. As we see, we're even speaking about that. We're seeing what's going to happen. She said, I thought, wow, that was easy. It was supernatural, right? Supernatural help. So I went and got back into my car, and once I squeezed past the U-Haul onto the service road, I saw four Arab women angrily getting out of the U-Haul cab. They were dressed in black and gray Arab garb with black hijabs. They were vigorously protesting, jumping up and down, shaking their fist at me, and falsely accusing me for wrongdoing because I had pushed their U-Haul out of the way and unblocked the right turn lane. So the factious, falsely accusing the bride to stop her from following the man-child. Yes. I stopped the car and got out to find out what they were so upset about. But all I could hear them saying was that they were going to go and tell David what I'd done. And I thought to myself, well, that's ridiculous. Well, that's why they're known as the stupid demons. I haven't done anything wrong, she said, and I don't know why they're so angry. I had ruined their plan to block the way. And then I woke up. Okay, I'm going to jump to... She had some verses here, which I'm not going to cover, but it's about seducing spirits. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 16. But the Spirit expressly, in latter times, some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. And she went through verse 16. But I'm going to go to dream number 2. I was in the living room of the right side mobile home with my father, representing the father, and many of the UBM brethren, and I went to the doorway of my father's study, and he was wearing a plaid shirt with pastel colors of light blue, light yellow, light green, and pink. And I showed him two pictures that my oldest son Noah had drawn with markers. One was a picture of a T-Rex, and the other was a big multi-story building with lots of people standing around it. My father liked the pictures and smiled. I believe the T-Rex represents the beast and the multi-story building represents Zion and the end-time revival. The dragon has been trying to hold back our taking of Zion and coming revival, right? I mean, let's go up to Zion, we're told. You know, this is our trip to go to the bride. This is a prize of the high calling, right? Because the bride is the first fruits to follow the man-child, as it was with Jesus, right? And then I went outside and saw my mother, which I believe represents the church here, mowing the tall grass on the other side of the right mobile home with a push mower. So I think this represents, since all flesh is as grass, right? The church denying itself, the flesh, meaning revival is coming. Yes, this judgment upon the wicked is going to bring revival. God's giving a demonstration of his wrath against evil. I saw several hornet nests that surrounded the area that my mother was mowing, that my father had torn apart with his bare hands. I would say the Lord is angry against the hornets. And I saw several dead hornets that got torn with the nests. So in the first dream she had about the hornet's nest, it was the faction in the left mobile home, left representing the goats, sheep on the right, the goats on the left. And what I see here is that some will be scattered because he's destroying the nest, right? And some will die by the Father's hand. And then revival can come. As my mother finished mowing the grass, it became evident that the Nazis, which represent the factious who persecute and kill God's people, just as the Nazis did, had abandoned a large war trench that they had dug to assault the right mobile home, which is the righteous people. I went over to the trench and looked down, and I saw a brother who was captive, who was clutching two boxes of donuts, and a sister, and they had been held prisoner by the Nazis. And my thought first came to me was, junk food won't save you from the Nazis and their witchcraft. You know, it has to be the Word of God, the true food of God's people, right? I helped them out of the trench, and they headed over towards the house. Well, praise the Lord, there's success there. And then I looked back down into the trench and found a pail of honey and spoils that the Nazis had stolen from the right side mobile home. But they're good at stealing things. The Lord will return, I believe, what the wicked stole, and good food, which is butter and honey. You know, the scripture says, I believe it's in Isaiah 7, butter and honey shall he eat. Speaking about the man-child Jesus and the man-child at the end time, butter and honey, God's perfect foods, right? Junk food won't do it, but that will. And then I saw an opaque hose sticking out of the bottom trench. And I called Noah over to where I was nearing the trench, and I handed him the honey and the other valuables that the Nazis had stolen from the right mobile home, and asked him to take them back into the house. And then I called my father over and said, look at this. I pulled on the hose and saw black liquid that looked like crude oil moving inside the hose and dripping out of the end. And as I pulled upward on the hose, it revealed that the Nazis had run the hose with black oil underground and then up into the living room window of the right mobile home. And I pulled it out of the window so that no more black oil would go into that right house, right? So that's the end of the black anointing. I was calling the oil this black anointing that the faction had against the UBM body. Their authority is removed, as was Haman's. You remember Haman was given authority to kill the people of God. But at the same time, Mordecai was given the anointing, and the bride was given the anointing as the man, child, and bride types to save them. And of course, they won. Praise God. That's what I believe that's about. I understood that they were trying to sabotage us with the black oil, but their mission had been abandoned when my mother started to mow the grass on the right side of the property. Well, I believe that this is saying that the revival in the church is at the time when the faction is judged. You remember when they went through the Red Sea and the faction was judged. Those that kept them in bondage and wanted to kill them were judged, and they had a party. They had a celebration. You know, praise God. So, I asked Father for a word for this dream by faith at random and received Joel 3 and 5 in context 1 through 8. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring back the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, the Lord's bringing back out of captivity, I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will execute judgment upon them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. That's exactly what the faction does. The demonic faction of all nations destroyed here. And they have parted my land and have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. So they destroyed God's people for their own selfish lusts, right? Yea, and what are ye to me, O Tyre and Sidon and all the regions of Philistia? Will you render to me a recompense? In other words, are you going to pay me back? If you recompense me swiftly and speedily, I will return your recompense upon your own head. For as much as you have taken my silver and my gold, yes, and have carried into your temples my goodly precious things, and have sold the children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem unto the sons of the Grecians, which is the beast, right, that you may remove them far from their border. So, by the way, factious remove those from their promised land, and righteousness is what that border represents. Behold, I will stir them up out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. In other words, I will deliver them from the faction and pay the faction back for their great sin. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the men of Sheba, to a nation far off, for the Lord has spoken it. So the faction was sold into bondage to reap what they sowed. But be careful, saints, about what is coming down the road here. Please pray that you and yours escape these things. Make sure you're under the blood covering. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son cleanses us from all unrighteousness, right? So we know that there is a way to apply the blood, right? And we apply the blood by faith, the blood covering by faith. And as we saw here, walking in righteousness and repenting of willful disobedience and these kinds of things will save you from what is coming. And you have to claim this by faith. And many of God's people are not there. They don't believe in this part of salvation. So it must be done. So pray for the people around you. Pray for the elect of God to escape these things. And pray for even some of the called to escape these things, so that ultimately they too might be saved and become part of the elect, etc. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for showing us these things. Thank you for warning us. We thank you, Lord, that you are drawing us and delivering us. And Lord, let us know ahead of time if there is a delay in this through prayer. I know it's not going to be deleted. It could be delayed, but it will not be deleted, because you've told us this so many times, this same thing, that this judgment is coming. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace. We receive it today in the name of Jesus. All right, saints, God bless you and keep you. Be in prayer. Draw close to Jesus. Sanctify yourselves. Remember, you're justified by faith. And of course, repentance and belief. Repent and believe what God said so you may escape. God bless you. Good night.